Welcome back to Grant and Danny on The Fan. There are times in life when we see our loved ones struggle, especially as they get older. The exclusive sponsor of this show is the law firm Kondori & Murad, and they can guide you through the process of managing a health care or a financial power of attorney, or even securing guardianship or conservatorship for a family member. Schedule a free consultation with their elder law and estate planning attorneys today. You can do that by visiting kmlawyers.com, telling them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. The Beltway Blitz in 1 hour at 4. That's when we're giving away Caps tickets against the Penguins right here on The Fan. You better be listening at that time. Danny, we are out and about tomorrow. We are on the road at the Craft House in Fairfax, over in Fairfax Corner, for stop number 3 of our Friday field trip.
The tour so far, if I can say this, we're 2 for 2. I think we hit a bomb and like a stand-up triple. Keep it going. This has been such a cool, fun thing. Grateful to the station, obviously, for sending us out and everybody responsible for that. All the locations we've been to so far and we're going to. It's just really cool, man. It's a neat refresher to be able to come out and hang out with folks. And everyone's just so damned excited. Not about you and me, although a couple people have been mildly tepid in terms of excitement. But just to talk about a football team that's good, and everybody's going, and then this was so much fun because I was watching with my buddy. And like, that kind of energy hasn't been here in some time. So it's really, really neat to be able to share it directly live in color with folks.
Yeah, that's why we're doing it. And the team's responding. We didn't think they'd be 6-2 8 games in as we were doing this field trip series. But as they were playing well, we decided to try to kind of continue to build the momentum, and that's what we're working to do. So we're coming to Fairfax. I believe our first stop in Maryland is going to be next week. Mm-hmm. We will unveil our next appointment for next Friday while we are live in Fairfax tomorrow. But coming out to Craft House and enjoy fellowship and camaraderie and fun times and food and drink. Should be a really, really good day. Live show from 2 to 6:30 tomorrow right here on Grant and Danny for our field trip. We are all over D.C. right now, the DMV on 106.7. We are now in Richmond over the air for the next 3 hours, AM 910, FM 105.1. If you want to stream us anywhere on the Odyssey app, you can do that. For audio and video, we are on YouTube, 106.7, the Fan's YouTube page, for the remainder of this program today and every day. Next up, the New York Giants. They're the only team standing between Washington and 7-2. Back to a 1 o'clock kickoff. First time in 3 weeks, Danny. This is, I guess, what the bad teams do.
The regular folk, yeah, the peasantry.
They play the Giants at 1 with Chris Myers on the call. So you're getting that treatment this weekend for the final game, essentially, in the 1 o'clock window. But Washington is a heavy favorite, as you'd expect, again, on the road. And if they cannot have a letdown, it stands to reason they should be able to go in New York, handle their business, come back to D.C. for a huge game against the Steelers with a chance at their best record midway through a season in my lifetime.
The Giants are not good. That's at the core of this. But that hasn't really mattered over the years. And I can't stand leaning on cliches, leaning on those axioms, that, you know, those platitudes that people love to say, like, you throw out the records when it's a divisional game. Like, it's just, thanks for the analysis. Appreciate you. I'll see you postgame, I'm sure. But that's been the case here with these two teams. It sort of hasn't mattered whatever the circumstances are. The occasional Giants throttling of Washington, I think, kind of is the exception. But for the most part, no matter kind of where these two teams are, it's like this weird rock fight, kind of a pushing contest between the two. And it's always closer than probably it should be one way or the other. So I'm kind of expecting that, to be honest with you. Washington is superior. Nothing will change if they somehow don't play well and drop this game. They're going to finish with an infinitely better record than the Giants, who are going to pick in the top 10 and are going to look to move on from probably quarterback and maybe coach and GM as well. Washington is in a much better place. They are favorites, and they should be. But just something about going up there or something about this matchup, it always seems to be a quote-unquote weird game.
The Commanders have not started a season 7-2, well, I should say ever, as the Commanders, if I want to be technical.
That's
but
fair, yeah.
Washington has not been 7-2 since 1996. Still kind of weird for me to play that game and pretend like the Commanders did it. But yes, Washington has not been 7-2 since 1996. I was 8 years old. How old were you, Danny?
1992. That's 13-year-old Randy Duye right there. I ended up turning 13 that year.
Come on, man.
Yep.
7-2. That was the last time. It's you wouldn't think it'd be that hard just to get off to a really good 9-game start. The schedule
so many teams have done
way.
It. So yeah. many teams have done it. It's my bit with the Wizards and 50 wins. Where I go, it's not even that big a deal. Like, no, there are no 7-2 trophies in anybody's case. That's nobody has any sort of celebration.
When they get to 7-2, if they beat the Giants, it's not like we stopped the season for a celebration. It's just something that's not that difficult to do that they haven't been able to do. It's them and pretty much, I would imagine, nobody else.
Yeah, incredible first half, and that's it.
You know, I said they were heavy favorites. I'm sure there's somebody in a real market where there's a good team, you know, like Kansas City or something, who's saying heavy favorites. They're only favored by 3.5. There's nothing heavy about that. Mm-hmm. I mean, 3.5 for Washington on the road is a gigantic number. Like, that's not territory we've been in a long time. We're in an era now where I believe you get 2 points for being at home just about. So what that tells you is that essentially odds makers think Washington's 5.5, 6 points better than the Giants at a neutral site. Tells me they're not completely buying in yet either, necessarily. I mean, I know the Giants and Washington, as you just said, play a lot of close games in the division, and that New York, to their credit, have actually been a pain to play. It's not like everyone that plays the Giants is dominating them. In fact, the opposite is true. They played the Steelers to a one-possession game. They did get blown out by the Eagles, but remember, they were really close with the Bengals. Probably would have won that game if they didn't miss 2 field goals. They beat Seattle. So they could easily be 2-2 in their last 4 games against some decent football teams, which I get. But I'm just randomly going to pull up one other game here. Let me look at FanDuel. Like, the Falcons are 3-point favorites on the Cowboys. Essentially, and it's a home game, to be clear, but the Falcons and the Washington Lions are similar, and the Cowboys, you would think, are much more highly regarded than the Giants are. I don't know, man. It just seems like the line is not yet reflecting as if odds makers are really sold that Washington's one of the best teams in the league, which I don't have a problem with, right. But I think that's worth noting.
Yeah, no, it certainly is. I mean, you go back to the last several matchups. The Giants have won 4 of 5. Washington won the most recent one. The biggest separation was a Giants 12-point win. There's a tie in there, and nothing but one score really close games. I do think the history comes into play.
I don't care about that. That's
I know, maybe Ron I overestimate it. I'm, you know, it's the kind of thing where I probably put too much emphasis on it because of the way the league turns over, but when you get a big enough sample over multiple years that these two teams play ugly, gross, weird games, I already got one. This year, it was weird.
That's
gross.
Relevant to me, though.
Yeah.
But, like, what happened when Taylor Heineke and Kyle Allen were quarterbacks?
I know.
Respectfully, I don't care anymore. I mean, this is a whole different world. You're right, though. The same thing kind of played out. The same caliber of game, kind of game, played out for Washington and New York earlier this season. Now, my argument against that would be, I would poke back on you with, how much different is this Commanders team than that team was?
Different.
In week 2. Let's not forget, that was the second week of the season, and cover your ears, people, who anytime you hear anything other than Super Bowl, MVP, Coach of the Year, and you take it personally. But week 1, the Washington offense was not good, and they couldn't really throw the ball. Jaden Daniels ran 16 times, but they couldn't do anything through the air that didn't involve their receivers. The first half of that Giants game was just as ugly throwing the ball. Remember, I think JD got sacked 4 times, maybe 5 times, and they again, receiver involvement was minimal. The passing game was not good. He was kind of hanging on to the ball. The whole thing changed in the second half of the Giants game. They hit on a couple inbreakers to Noah Brown. They went down and got the win late. And that was the first half of football where Daniels played at the level that he has for the rest of the year. It was as if something, like there was an epiphany or a breakthrough moment. The game slowed down for him. The next week was Cincinnati, when he still had arguably the best game any quarterback has played all season long for any team. And he's played at that level essentially since. But the first half of the Giants game was not good for this offense. And I guess it's fair to ask, do the Giants have a decent plan? Are they able to defend this offense well based on something that Bowen, their defensive coordinator Shane Bowen, like figured out? Or is that just a different Commanders team because it was before Jaden Daniels solved the riddle?
That is the essential question to me is, you know, we asked, I'm blanking on her name, but for Blitz in the East yesterday, you know, covering the Giants, I'm going, you and I had a discussion about it. It's not like we're watching the Giants intimately and breaking them down. You see them on TV like everybody else. But I still feel like that defense is pretty good. They've got some pretty good pass rushing totals led by Dexter Lawrence and company. And they can be disruptive at times. They haven't always been. And certainly their weakness is the run game. Well, you know what Washington's strength happens to be? Well, they got a couple on offense. But especially that run game. So maybe there's a great opportunity here where you go, now that we have all things firing, Jaden Daniels is fully armed and operational in terms of, you know, the things on his plate and how well he's played, as you mentioned, since really the second half of that week two game, everything's at our disposal. They can't stop us now, whereas maybe they could because we were limiting ourselves. That's sort of the thought. I don't know that this Giants defense is good enough to stop Washington. Even the good defenses Washington has played haven't stopped them per se, kind of outside of week one when they got one garbage time score against Tampa Bay and that's it. But for the most part, even when it hasn't gone great, they're not ringing the bell for 40 points, they're still moving the football with some aplomb. They're still getting up and down the field and still making some plays, and I think that's going to be available to them this weekend.
They definitely did against Pittsburgh. I don't know how much they moved the ball when they scored 3 against Philly or 7 against the Bengals. By the way, their home games offensively have been horrific.
Oh, beyond dreadful. They're 0-4. I think they have 1 or 2 touchdowns at home.
They have a touchdown, I believe, at home. I mean, everyone's seeing that stat, I'm sure, this week. But look at the performances. They gave up, well, they lost by 22 and they scored 6 at home in week 1 against the Vikings. Then they were on the road against the Commanders and the Browns. That was 2 pretty decent performances, actually. They lost by a field goal and then won against Cleveland. Came back home and played Dallas. That was the one game where they have actually scored a touchdown. They lost 20-15. Remember, that was a primetime game, and in fact, they were really close to beating Dallas that night.
Yeah.
They went to Seattle, had their game of the year, their second win, and they won 29-20. It was actually closer than that. If you remember, the Seahawks were kicking a game-tying field goal, a makeable field goal, at the end of regulation that New York blocked and took back for a touchdown and made it a 9-point win. But very well could have been an overtime game that they lost. Then they've lost 3 in a row, 2 at home against the Bengals. They scored 7. They missed 2 field goals. Against the Eagles, they got beat 28-3 in the Saquon Barkley return where he ran for almost 200. They scored 3 points. So that is home games against Minnesota, Dallas, Cincy, Philly, 0-4 with a total of 34 points in 4 games. I mean, they're averaging right around 9 points or so, 8 points per game at home. That's hard to do.
In this day and age, in any day and age, really. I mean, since the advent of the Ford pass, it's pretty hard to do.
See, that's why I have such a hard time picking them to beat Washington. I know strange things happen, and I know there's such a thing as a letdown. But this offense is so high octane and so dynamic that even in a game where, let's say, Bowen's defense bows up and they do a really good job, you're going to hit on a couple of explosives. You can keep Washington down. We've seen a couple teams do an okay job. The Bears did a really good job, I thought. Hail Mary notwithstanding, obviously. But, like, there has been this inevitability to the playmaking, mostly from Daniels. It's not really a whole lot of – it's not like there's a long list of guys that are doing it otherwise. But they find a way, to Kingsbury's credit, to get McLaurin open down the field for a big shot. They find a way to hit something to De'Ami Brown. One game it was him, 40 yards. Or, you know, to get Austin Eckler on a screen that goes for 35. Like, they do something to break out of the rut. And do the Giants really have an answer to that? Maybe against Washington's defense they will. But I worry about them when they play offenses that can move the ball and score. When they play teams that are offensively challenged like Cleveland, they destroy them. Carolina, like they have blown those teams out.
Yep.
This will be different at the Meadowlands, tougher environment than being at home like they were in the 2 games I just referenced. But I think any matchup where you're going into a battle with Washington with a bad offense, I mean, you're slapping in a boxing match, right? You are bringing the wrong weapon to a bigger artillery fight.
I think that's a good analogy there. I mean, again, I'm going back that the ghost of week 2, maybe again, it's not fair because your point is correct. These are different teams. Both are playing better. The Giants, not their better isn't quite as better as the Washington's, if that turn of phrase makes sense.
I was going to say, how much better are the Giants than
they're slightly then? Better, but more better, but less better than more better. They're playing slightly better football at times than they were maybe at that point in the season. But now there's more swirling around. I mean, I always think about this. I said this before the Carolina game. I always feel like teams in this spot are looking for a reason. And what I mean by that is you're looking for a reason either to say, okay, we're in this one, and then you get frisky and you get the nobody believes in us. You do what Cleveland did this past week, right? Where you get that dead cat bounce for a team whose season is lost, but they're so overjoyed and there they are. They're in it going toe-to-toe with a really good team like Baltimore that they feel themselves and have a great game. Then there's the Carolina corollary where they're looking for a reason to go the opposite direction. You stomp them. You do something special early. That's it. You know, screw this. It's just human nature, right? I think a team with everything swirling around them like the Giants have, they're looking for a reason. So if you give them a chance, they'll hang around and they can be frisky and you can, you know, end up in you know, one of those heated one-score type games. But if you do something, if you dominate early, they'll give up. And that's kind of how I've, you know,
so that's
sort of looking
interesting.
At this one.
Well, similarly, one thing I was thinking about with this game, and I think it's kind of the same thing you're saying. The fact that you're going to their building this week, I like. Because they've got this growing, now, groundswell, where they're mad at the GM, Shane, where they're upset with the head coach, Dable, and they want blood. They want Daniel Jones benched. And I think Daniel Jones is kind of proven at this point that he's not the guy, that they're going to go in a different direction. But he has also not been a problem necessarily for them. He hasn't been the answer. But like going to Tommy DeVito or Drew Locke is not going to make them a contender. It's not like Daniel Jones is holding them back. Having said that, though, you hear that. Like you turn on any kind of Giants coverage this week, and that will be one of the big storylines. We were told yesterday by Charlotte from The Athletic when she joined us that, you know, yeah, that's the biggest story right now is we're grilling Dable. We're asking if they're going to make a quarterback change, and the answer, again, is no. I bring this up to say you go 3-and-out on that first drive.
Mm-hmm.
You come out and you run the ball for 0 on 1st and 10, and then, you know, 2nd and 10 is a 4-yard screen or whatever, and now it's 3rd and 6. And can you imagine if you misfire or there's an incompletion?
Oh, yeah.
Or a batted ball, and you've now been 2-and-out twice, and Daniel Jones is 1 of 3 for 6 yards or whatever. Like, the Boo Birds will be out. If you're the Giants, and we can relate to this, I think, because this has been Washington for a long time. You'd almost rather be on the road at this point. And it's part of the reason why I bet they've played better on the road.
100%. You feel that pressure. You feel the tense nature of the crowd who's waiting. You know, the other shoe number one has been on the ground for some time, and they are watching shoe number two descend towards pavement. You know what I mean? Like, everybody knows. Everybody's so mad. This isn't working. You know it. You're a human being. You're aware of it. You can talk about, you know, eliminating the distractions and, you know, all the cliches and saying all the right things. You're a human being, dude. You can sense the anger and vitriol and frustration and irritation from tens of thousands of people that are just looking for a reason. There's that phrase again, to yell at you and express their displeasure. It's their hard-earned money, and they feel like it's your fault somehow. You're going to feel it. You're going to hear about it.
Are you guys worried about a letdown performance from Washington? It has been a little while since they've played a bad football game. Even when they lost to the Ravens, they were up to the challenge. 800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. If you want to join us, you can call in now. You can also tweet us at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny, if you want to get a hold of us that way. The Giants have lost 3 in a row and 4 of 5. They're 2 and 6 overall. They're 0 and 4 at home. Is this a spot you worry about a little bit with a big matchup with the Steelers looming back at home next week? You're listening to Grant and Danny. Alongside Danny Ruye, I'm Grant Paulson on Halloween Thursday. You're locked into The Fan. We are getting ready for the Commanders and the Giants on Sunday. And as we close in, we're taking inventory on whether or not you could see this as a possible letdown spot for Washington. They're 3.5-point road favorites. Everybody thinks they're going to beat New York. I saw my first prediction graphic drop, where I think there's 10 on the screen, 9 have the Washington Block W logo, and 1 has the Giants, which has been reason for nervousness around here for many years. But those nerves are dying. I mean, that anxiety, frankly, is going away some, Danny, because what I've been most impressed by with the Dan Quinn operation so far is they have handled prosperity off the Bengals game. They blew out the Cardinals. Off the blowout of the Cardinals coming home, for sure this is the letdown spot. They destroy the Browns. They go to Baltimore, put up their dukes, give them their best shot. They lose. Then you came home to Carolina and you thought, well, maybe this is the regression in the skid. And they hang 40 on the Panthers, and then they bounce back to beat the Bears as well. So they just have not had that show-up small game. And the longer you go without one, the more you can start to think they're above that and maybe better than that.
100%. You put enough deposits in, then, you know, that kind of becomes what you are at this stage. My only counter to it is this isn't a Washington-specific thing. If you're asking me, is Washington better than the Giants? Well, duh. Yeah, obviously. Okay, let's move on to the next topic. But is any team above a letdown? Is any team above, you know, another professional team having a good day? And I don't mean to speak in, you know, these sorts of, you know, hyperbolic kind of bits of weirdness, but a divisional game where you've already played a field goal game over the course of the season, it's not insane to me that they wouldn't play their best game in New York, right? I mean, that's happened. Again, Washington is better. If they played 20 times, they'd win 15, 16 of those. Well, there's a handful of others that they might not. So you look around the league over the last month or so, right? Think about how many good teams played bad teams. And this is what's happening. A good team, Washington, is playing a bad team, New York. Green Bay probably very easily could have lost to Jacksonville this past weekend. Fluky stuff happens. The Ravens dropped the game to the Raiders earlier this year. Fluky stuff happens. My point here isn't just to say, oh, well, it's sports. That's why they play the games. I'm trying to go above that a little bit. But my point is, I don't think anybody, let alone like an absolute buzzsaw juggernaut, they can't be defeated team that, you know, doesn't exist anymore in today's NFL is above kind of that trap game letdown situation, despite all the rhetoric, despite all the efforts to the contrary.
I agree with you. I think it's mostly like it lowers the percentage, like how many of them you have when you're really good dissipates.
I think that's the way to phrase it. That's it.
You know, like the Ravens have now lost to the Raiders and the Browns, and it gives me a little pause, but they've won some other really tough games that makes it more okay. But a team like the Chiefs, and I'm not talking about this year where they're 7-0, but just by and large, they don't let down against Denver when Denver's bad very often, you know?
Right.
But you're right. I mean, every team, no one goes 17-0. Nobody goes 16-1. You know, 15-2 ain't walking through that door either. And I'm not talking about Washington. I mean, the great teams every year in the league. Mm-hmm. The best teams are generally 13-4. You just saw the Ravens lose to the Browns. This happens all the time in the league. They're good enough now that, let's say they lose in New York against the Giants, even if they play a bad game, I'll kind of chalk it up to a bad day.
Me too.
Not that, oh, I guess maybe they weren't as good as we think. Like, I'm past that at this point. I think it would take 2 or 3 weeks in a row where they lower their own bar by playing poorly before I think, okay, you know, they were playing over their heads and they've come back down to earth.
Because I think they just had that. Like, this was, like, again, they did a lot good in that Chicago game. I'm not saying they didn't. Defensively, they were great, especially in the first half. But offensively, shooting themselves in the foot, some of the miscues and things that you're going, that's not what they've been doing over the last, you know, 6 weeks. I think they just had their we got away with one game, right? Where, you know, the Hail Mary doesn't get tipped to the right person. We're talking about a 5-3 team right here, right? Where they go, okay, lesson learned. We can't afford to take our foot off the gas, or we have to be on our P's and Q's. Like, to me, they've already done that. Right, this past week had the quote unquote, I don't say letdown game, that's not the right turn of phrase, but the we didn't do our best here. We didn't play our best.
I partially agree with that. I think that was a loss that they stole. But I also think they outplayed the Bears and should have won anyway. It was only a loss that they stole because they were behind with 25 seconds to go.
Right.
After the Bears finally scored. But like, I did not think they played a bad game. I thought they had a couple of miscues in the red zone. But I actually thought they played pretty well, especially defensively. That was a winning performance. But, yeah, they obviously stole a game as it ended up that they could have lost. But I don't know that that was like a letdown. I think they're probably even with the Bears on paper, and it would be a toss-up. You know, if they played 10 times, it'd be 5-5 or whatever. Let's go to Will and Stafford on Grant and Danny. How do you feel about the matchup with the Giants on Sunday?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, bro.
I just want to say on the candy real quick, Fifth Avenue, best candy bar ever made. I order a box from Amazon each year. My wife thinks I'm crazy, but I give out full-size candy bars of Fifth Avenue. Just
well, first of all,
awareness.
Your wife should thank the lucky stars that she has such a lovely, wonderful husband that understands the value of giving out full-size, king-size, full candy bars, number one. What is Fifth Avenue, though?
It's peanut butter and chocolate, dude. It's basically, they made the peanut butter crunchy somehow. And if you ask me how, I don't know. Magic. But it's basically a crunchy chocolate and peanut butter bar.
Yeah, it's amazing. Always has been.
Oh, they're fantastic.
Danny, you and I are about the same age. When the old ladies in the neighborhood would give out Bit of Honey or Mary Jane's, that filth went straight to the trash.
Garbage.
But I'll say real quick, guys, two things. I'm a little worried about the health of the OTs, Coleman, Concussion, Wiley, and Cornelius, you know, a little banged up. But also, it seems like MetLife, that turf there, we all know it's terrible. I'm a little concerned about health there. I mean, it seems like that stadium is notorious for taking guys out, you know, with non-contact injuries. I mean, knock on wood, nothing happens. But I always get nervous when our team plays there, or pretty much any team other than the Giants. Thanks,
it is the most good hated point, surface in the NFL right now, and I don't even think it's that close. There was a time – it's funny, I'm old enough to remember when natural grass and, you know, poorly grown grass like FedEx Field was what everybody was worried about, when that was ripping ligaments. But, yeah, now nobody wants turf. I mean, the players, the PA goes to the league year in and year out, trying to get natural grass. A lot of the indoor stadiums that are being built have the ability to wheel the turf out into the parking lot so you can actually grow grass. The types of turf on indoor stadiums that are being used are changing as well. But for whatever reason, I know they've done a lot of work and made changes. But, yeah, he's right. MetLife Stadium has a reputation and is now notorious for non-contact injuries.
That is the thing. I hadn't even thought about that specifically, but he's 100% right. I mean, with that offensive tackle question certainly is a pretty important one, I would say. You know, Trent Scott, with all due respect, you probably don't want him taking, you know, 80 snaps there at left tackle. So TBD on that. But, yeah, the injury concern is the thing.
What do you mean you don't want Scott taking 80 snaps?
I don't necessarily want him starting at left tackle. I'd rather have Coleman or Lucas.
I think that's the case at any stadium.
I don't mean, he brought up two things. I was talking about the turf.
Oh,
he said offensive tackle situation and the turf.
Got you. Yeah, let me be clear. There's nowhere where Trent Scott's going to play where I'm going to feel really good about that.
You could have it on the moon or wherever, yeah.
Grass, turf, if there's a new thing that they come up with, if we're playing the game on carpet. Sorry, I thought you were talking about regarding the surface. But, yeah, that's the biggest concern of the game. I'm hoping Brandon Coleman plays. I don't really have a full reason to believe he will, but you generally don't miss 2 weeks with a concussion as a young guy. You're seeing Tyrone Tracy come back days after his concussion. But every concussion is different, obviously. There's no way to really predict that at all. I just think, you know, based on the last several years, it would seem like a lengthy recovery if Coleman wasn't able to go. So I'm hoping he can play. But even in that case, we haven't seen him get a full week's worth of 100% of snaps. I mean, you'd still be asking him to do something he hasn't been asked to do, and it would be his toughest test of the season, not just because of the workload, but because Brian Burns is one of the better pass rushers in the league.
Yeah, they got a variety of guys, whether it's Lawrence or Burns or Thibodeau that's had huge games against them.
Thibodeau's on injured reserve.
Oh, he's on IR, that's right.
But you're right. I mean, Lawrence, a D-tackle, he wouldn't have to go up against Coleman very often. But, yeah, I mean, that's a pain in the butt that he's going to be a real big problem on the interior. Joe's in L.A. on Grant and Danny. What's up, Joe?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Just two things. Well, first I have to say Fifth Avenue is the best candy bar, so thank you, Will, for pointing that out. But then two things about the game. One, I think that the culture we hear about from Dan Quinn and from Jaden Daniels, who are the two most important people to hear from, it doesn't suggest to me anything about being susceptible to trap games. They just don't seem to have – they have the right mentality about putting in the work every week. And Jaden Daniels basically celebrated that Hail Mary for like 5 seconds before he was like, all right, we're on to the New York Giants next week.
You got to love what he said about that,
100%.
Right? I mean, it's in the past, man. Now, I think, when was his presser? Yesterday. So Wednesday from Sunday was the first time we heard him talk. But even still, he says the right things every single time.
Every time and always. He's so special. And everything he does, just like he's like the perfect dude. You know what I mean? Just like it always turns up him. But, yeah, 100% love that attitude. And I guess maybe it's a matter of semantics. I don't know, Jeeps. But the idea that they're less susceptible to the letdown because of the rhetoric, right? The way that these guys approach it and level of buy-in to it, right? Where you're talking about, doesn't matter who the opponent is, we have to do our thing, our thing, our thing, our thing. And when we talked to Austin Eckler on Tuesdays, right, it's a little bit less about what the opponent's going to do. We have to take care of our stuff, our thing. We have a standard. Dan Quinn talks about it all the time, not meeting the opponent, but we have to worry about what we do all the time. And that internal facing, constant improvement almost competing with yourself and competing with the standard that you're setting. It's like that Matthew McConaughey deal where he's like, my hero is me 10 years from now, my earlier self looking up forward to my 10 year from ago and later self. Like, it's that deal where you're talking about self-improvement over the, you know, setting yourself up against the competition. And so that would make them less susceptible given that buy-in.
I think Joe's gone. Joe, I didn't mean to end your call that quickly. I apologize, buddy. Thank you for calling us from out in L.A. on the Odyssey app. Speaking of the Odyssey app, Greg is in Florida on Grant and Danny. What's up, Greg? How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good, Bo.
So, I hate to say it, but I'm taking the Giants straight up. And I don't view this as a letdown game. I'm just not totally convinced, believe it or not, until they beat the Giants in the Meadowlands. I don't know when the last time that's happened, but the Giants just seem to have our number for whatever reason. We either split with them or they win two. When was the last time we won two from them in a season? I can't remember.
It's been a while.
And I've been around for a long time. And again, I don't know whether they just have our number and know how to put together a game plan, but I'm a little nervous because, you know, Daniel Jones is going to be running the ball to, you know, get first downs on third and long. And I'm worried about our secondary, and it's not just against, is it Neighbors? Is that who it is?
That's him, yeah.
He had 10 catches for 100 yards against Washington.
And so appreciate the call, man.
Last time they played.
2021 is the last time it happened. And even still, it wasn't two blowouts. You know, it wasn't like, oh, they just stomped them around despite the fact the Giants weren't any good. 1-point win, and then the last game of the season that was pretty – it was all but meaningless for everybody. They beat them by, you know, I think it was 10 to 12 points, something like that. But 2021
– they swept them in both games, and they won in the Meadowlands. Before mm-hmm. that, though, Danny – looking at it, I think you got to go all the way back to 2011.
Yeah.
To find the last time.
So the point stands, obviously.
And that was, yeah, like final week of the year, as you said, you know, everyone's checked out. But if you want to find the last time where two games were played when the competitive portion of the season was still going, how about 2011?
Yeah, that's too long, quite frankly. That's one team having the better of the matchup.
But there's a lot of things happening for the first time since then.
Well, there's that's true.
If they win, they're 7-2 for the first time since 1996,
ho-hum,
which is harder to do, it seems like, around here than just winning in the Meadowlands, which happens every few years anyway. Grant and Danny on the Fan. We'll get you a double play next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. 20 minutes from now, ahead of the Beltway Blitz, we will be giving away tickets to see the Capitals and the Penguins next week. You got to win those tickets coming up at the top of the hour right here on Grant and Danny. In 12 minutes, top of the hour, ahead of the Beltway Blitz, we will be giving away tickets to the Caps and the Penguins. They've got a matchup at Capital One Arena November 8th next week. You can be there just by listening and being the right caller at the top of the hour. Let's get to our double play driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal in the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today.
Jeeps, you're better at this than I am. You have a great attitude and ability to say it's just stuff, and I'm not worried about it. Since I've known you, since what, like 2009, I think, and this is numbers approximate, I think you've had 146 different phone chargers.
Yeah.
Give or take, right? Where it's, if you can't find it, I'm just going to get another one. I can't be bothered. I don't have that ability to move on. So I thought, I had this long saga. If folks have been following the program, I had I was a victim of a hit and run, totally mild. Everyone's fine, but like it was a pain in the butt, your normal thing that happens with cars and whatever, right? Dealt with it. I was positive that my sunglasses, nice pair of sunglasses, I'll be honest with you, I splurged a little bit, got some Oakleys for your pal. All right. They fit. They didn't have that gap between, the actual eyeglass and my eyes because of my weird, stupid shaped face. They fit me really well. I liked them a lot. They're my one seat sunglasses. In my mind, I haven't seen them in about 6 weeks. I go, oh, they're in the car. I'm pretty sure they're in the car. Like they're in the console there in the car. Well, I get the car back and they're not there. So now I'm left to go, what could I possibly have done? I've been searching high and low for these sunglasses, and my wife does the thing that I think you're about to do where she goes, why don't you just get another pair of sunglasses?
Mm-hmm.
And I can't give up the hope or the idea that they'll turn up. I'll find them. They'll be here somewhere if I want it bad enough. I have looked everywhere a human being could possibly have placed his or her sunglasses, and I haven't found them. And I was convinced, oh, they must be in the car, and they're not. They probably never were, but I now don't have them. I have not had my A sunglasses, and I'm a sunglasses guy, as you know. I don't have them, but I can't bear the idea of going to get new ones.
You love sunglasses,
I love
too.
Them so much. I have light eyes. For people with fair eyes, it's really important. If you have beautiful, beautiful blue eyes like I do, you have to take care of them.
So if I had something really nice, I think I would probably wouldn't go full Rouillet on this, but I would be more inclined to live the way you're living, where you're going. I can't just move on.
I can't move
this
on.
This is why I don't, though. Like, you get nice things because you like things and you want to take care of them and you enjoy them. Mm-hmm. I don't. I'm just, you know, I'm going to get the used car that's going to get me to and from, and if someone runs into it, maybe we'll get it fixed one day.
Then it's more used.
Exactly. My sunglasses, they cost me $6.
Yep.
So when I can't find them, there's going to be another $6 pair. Now, if I dropped a couple hunch on Oakleys or something, or you know, whatever they might have been, like, yeah, then I'd be really upset. But I know I can't keep them. I know I'm going to lose them. I know I don't take the, you know, I don't have the ability, and this is a compliment to you, I think. I don't know this for a fact, but I think I do. I think you take things and take care of them well, right?
Yeah. If money
like you
spent,
carry things in cases and you have, so I think that makes it, like, you should invest because you're going to do the work. I know I'm not going to take care of them because I just don't have any, like, at my core, I am not wired to care about material things. I don't really have any appreciation for it. Like, I just don't. I don't need nice things. And so that's why the $5, I'll get another one. And that's where the philosophy comes from.
Which makes a lot of sense. I wish I had some of that. Right now, I wish I had it especially. But it's basically if money is spent, we're going to value it. Like, I'm sure it comes from my parents, but it's like, I don't know if that's frugal or whatever the word is. Like,
I think that's a good trait.
Yeah. The whole point is why do I work? Why are we doing any of this? Why does anyone do anything? I want to provide for my children, wife, family, the whole nine yards, right? Whatever I want to get you the Jordans. I want to get you the nice thing. Like, that motivates me. It makes me so happy to be able to do that. If I get it for you, we're going to use it. We're not one time unwrap that Christmas present and then cast it aside. If I buy it, if that money leaves this pocket right here, my son's waving at me right now because he knows I'm talking about him. If that leaves this pocket and it goes to somebody else, we're going to use it. We're going to use it until you're tired of using it and then take a break and use it again. We are going to get our value out of it. And I got those sunglasses, I think, 3 years ago, and I've worn them a lot. I've gotten, I don't know, close to my money's worth. I can't let them go.
Yeah, so just as an example, I mean, 3 years is 50 years for me to have sunglasses.
In Paulson years, yeah.
I don't think I've kept sunglasses. Now, I never wear sunglasses ever, 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 as you know.
Well, you also have regular glasses, so that makes it hard.
It does, but have you ever seen me wear sunglasses?
I had to have.
I don't think I've worn sunglasses in years. So it's very possible you have.
I mean, I don't remember specifically. My point is,
I wore them every day, I wouldn't keep them. I would go through sunglasses every couple of weeks. It's like water bottles. I go through those every, you know.
Oh, you're amazing.
Oh, I'm going to start carrying this to work, my thermos or whatever. Nope, it's gone in a week. I just can't do it.
You stopped doing the thermos, which is the giant soup cup from Walters. Are you doing that anymore?
I still do that when I go to Walters. I get it to go giant soup plastic cup. But, yeah, man, it's like a chicken or the egg thing, though. I don't think I get nice things and then don't take care of them. I purposefully don't get nice things.
Right.
If I were to get something nice, I think I would take care of it. But also, I have very young kids, so depending on what we're talking about, like, you know, my wife wanted to get a really, really nice couch. And I'm like, we're having children.
Yeah.
Like, why would we do that?
There'll
now, we still got a nicer
around.
Couch. Now, if it was up to me, we would just go to, like, Johnny's house around the corner on Facebook Marketplace and get it for $23. We did not do that. We spent a lot more money than I wanted to, but we kind of met in the middle on the thing that cost as much as a car and, you know, and what I wanted, which was $0.
Yeah, by the way, what we spent on this couch, it better go to 0 to 60 in 5 seconds.
Right, exactly.
This thing.
So we probably went about halfway to your couch, right?
Uh-huh.
But, like, I want my wife to have nice things. She likes to have nice things. You mentioned your kids. As they get older, they don't know what's what yet, so we're getting, you know, cheap everything. But when you know, they're in their class and their kids are looking at their shoes or whatever, I will want them. It's not like I'm some believer in we have to have no-name brand. Like,
yeah.
For me personally, I'm wearing a black T-shirt that has a pocket on it that is not a brand. Like, I don't care.
Have you ever put anything in that pocket?
I actually had my phone in it earlier today.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You weren't afraid of it falling out?
Like this.
Does it stay? That's a deep shirt pocket.
It is actually very deep.
I wouldn't think that would work, because usually that pocket is not functional. It's like maybe my pack of cigarettes could go in there, and I know that's not something you're usually doing.
No, this is just a shirt that if you worked all day and then had a pack of cigarettes, you would definitely put it
in. Put it right there.
It's kind of that kind of blue-collar shirt. I don't know, man. You want to give away some Caps tickets at the top of the hour with me?
I don't know. Should we?
Let's do that.
Yeah, I think we should.
Ahead of the Beltway Blitz, the Commanders, the Capitals, the Wizards are going to be covered. A juicy blitz on a Halloween Thursday. We're Greg and Dave.